Reading this morning is three short passages. This is my kind of reading, okay? It is written to the church and to us. Our goal is always to please God in everything we do. And whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This is the word of the Lord. So this is a message that was really born out of just talking to many younger people. And about maybe a month and a half ago, I shared this message out across school. Now, it was very different because we have anywhere from first graders all the way up to eighth graders. So you talk about a wide range. And really what I told them is what I'm telling you today, and that is 23 years ago, some fellow youth ministers and I went down to Austin, Texas, a brand new ministry that was just starting off. It was called Choice Ministry. It was in Austin, Texas. And there were two men that were there that had a profound impact in my life the last, you could say, 25 years that really began that ministry. And I'll put the pictures up here. Some of you may have heard of them, Lou Giglio and John Piper, who've had a gigantic impact on a younger generation of people. I am continually amazed how Piper in his 70s can continue to reach kids in their own high school and college. I've never seen anything like it. And Giglio, what they started was the Passion Conference. I was there at the first one 23 years ago. And since that time, it's gone on to be one of the most impactful ministries in the history of Christendom. I cannot even begin to tell you the number of people that I've met over the years that have gone into ministry or have an impact in the world because of this, were born out of this. People of every nationality from countries all around the world, it's full of young people. In fact, we are taking a group on New Year's Eve from December 31st to January 2nd, we're taking them to the Passion 2020 conference. And I'm gonna get them to go. Our high school seniors, our college age kids, I'll go door to door if I have to. And the reason why is because I've watched people from every background, from every part of broken life, come to this and are changed by this. And what Giglio talked about 23 years ago is the same thing he's talked about every year, and that is that we are living in to be people of passion and purpose. It's amazing that it still strikes me what he said all those years ago. Because often, in my opinion, at least talking to people, we get these terms confused about what does it mean to be a person of passion, what does it mean to be a person of purpose, and how do these two intermingle? Let me first address this first one, that is, what is passion? Well, passion is about you. It's about what gets you excited, about what you love. It's about a fire that burns deep inside you. It's the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning. It's the thing you cannot wait to share with people. And not only that, I might even add here that you have the courage to follow it. Because God may be calling you to do something great and to be passionate about it, but we chicken out. We're scared about doing it. It's the courage to be able to follow it. I also have to say that one thing that's come across, and this is the great misnomer, I think, great misconception, I think, that's often explained, and that is passion is not just about one thing. I cannot stress this enough, because the huge cultural narrative that's taking place in our society right now is people say, have you discovered your passion? Like it's just one thing. Like it's one thing to the exclusion of all the others. If anything, life has shown me, but God has certainly revealed to me, what I know now, talking to many people, is passions are multifaceted and cover a lot of different things. It's never just one thing. Or it's been said that people have said, and I certainly know this talking to younger people say, have you discovered your passion yet? In other words, the belief is, if you haven't discovered your passion yet, somehow you're missing out, you're not ambitious, you're not going after something. That is simply not true. As someone told me about 6 weeks ago, a senior in high school told me about someone telling, have you picked out your passion yet? Do you know what your passion is? They said, I feel like I'm picking a major for life. That's what she said to me. And what I said to them, I'm telling you now, passion is not a train you get on and you're on for the rest of your life, one thing. It's many things. Your passion will be many things. And let me just give you an example of this in my own life. I love being a minister. I love getting up here on a Sunday morning and sharing God's word. In fact, I can't wait to get up here and do it because I know that I have a winning hand. And all I got to do is show it to you and just get out of the way and let God do the rest. I know this. And I'm very passionate about it. I'm very excited about it. But that's not the only thing that I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about a number of things. Things that I'm willing to lay down my life for. And what are those things I'm talking about here? Well, if you've known me at all and you've spent any time around me, you may know and may have heard, okay, that I'm a little bit of a C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien nut, right? In fact, I was just sharing this last service. About 5 years ago, I had a woman in our church who came to me and sat down with me, and she said, I want you to know that I'm leaving the church, and it's because of you. Now, people don't usually tell me this, and I said, why? And she said, you talk about C.S. Lewis way too much. Now, normally I would say, oh, please don't leave, and I said, I'm going to miss you, okay? Because these two have so shaped my life. They have helped me be a better father, a better husband, a better Christian, a better pastor. In fact, let me just take the step even further. Many of you may know this, but I talked about this past week. Lisa and I went up to Montreat, North Carolina. We believe now what they say, the biggest C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien conference in history. We were up there in the mountains of North Carolina. And for the last 25 years, I have been trying to get together with C.S. Lewis's son, his adopted son. His mother, Douglas Gresham, fled America to England to get away from their abusive father, her abusive husband, who he later divorced her. She came to England. She met C.S. Lewis. She fell in love with C.S. Lewis. She married him. Joy Gresham did. And C.S. Lewis adopted Douglas, their son, at 8 years of age and really began to raise him. And so this past week, we were up there, and for the last 2 years, I've been corresponding back and forth with him, and there we were. He spent the morning with us, sharing about his life. You can see there, I'm showing the computer screen. I said, I taught a six-week series about your dad. And he told this to Lisa and I, a story that's nowhere in any biographies or anything like that, but something that will stand with me forever. And that is, he had a very hard life, Douglas did. And he said, you know, we moved to England. I was an American. We moved here. And, you know, just a few years after I got here, my 42-year-old mother, Joy Gresham, died of bone cancer. C.S. Lewis's wife died of bone cancer. And a few months after that, my father, really who I was estranged from, his biological father in America, committed suicide. And then 6 months after that, C.S. Lewis, the man who raised him, died in 1963 on November 22nd, the day that Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember he was telling this to Lisa and I. He said, I lost everything. And when Lewis was dying, he said he came down out of the hospital and he sat outside on the wall outside, and he just sat back against the wall, and he said he just began to weep uncontrollably because he said, I had nothing left. I had nobody and nowhere to go. And he said there was a man that came up to him, was walking down the street and was about to walk in the hospital, and he saw him, and he recognized Douglas Gresham. And he said, listen, I love Jack, who they call Lewis. I love Jack so much. He's one of my dearest friends. I'm going to visit him every day I possibly can. Anyway, my wife and I were talking, and if you don't have anywhere to go, we want you to come live with us. It was J.R.R. Tolkien. And here we are nearly 60 years later, and Douglas Gresham said, I've never forgotten his generosity. And I will never forget the story. And so I'm passionate about people who changed my life, okay? That's one area I'm passionate about. Let me tell you another area I'm passionate about, okay? My sports teams, okay? And by the way, let me add here, as long as we're talking about Appalachian, they beat the Gamecocks yesterday, okay? Yeah. So all the Clemson fans are out here clapping right now, okay? But my beloved Panthers, my beloved long-suffering Red Sox, and, of course, my Virginia Cavaliers. How can you forget that? But what's even caught me more off guard is the enthusiasm and the passion I have for our local sports here, okay? Bluffton High, yeah, baby. Our high school here. And then cross school, which we've watched our athletics here just explode and have an impact. Our football team, first year, went 6-1 this year. Amazing. And then begrudgingly, because I have so many that attend there, as somebody I care about, I've been won over slowly to May River, okay? Yeah, I got some May River kids out here because there's so many, not just raised in Cross, but some in this community that I care about that are part of that school. But I know this, and that is, in a lesser extent, there is some truth that athletics seem to bring an incredible amount of passion in our lives, enthusiasm. It causes us to jump up and, you know, jump up in the air in the middle of the night cheering for something and bring us to towering heights and just incredible lows with our teams. And yet it does communicate. It's communicated to me, what does it mean to be passionate, having to be a person of passion? Because we see this in athletics. And of course, when I was trying to teach this out at Cross School, I'm thinking, you know, I have first graders all to eighth graders. How can I communicate passion in a way that will connect with them instead of just giving an expository sermon? And what I did was I put a video together of just all the sports clips that have moved me over the years that have caused me, I think, in a weird, weird way, maybe it's common grace, caused me to be a better human being, a better Christian, a better father. And so I put these clips together. And by the way, why the kids loved it at Cross School is because their football coach, Keith Brooking, many of you know, played in the NFL for many years, all-pro linebacker. He was the last part of this video. So I want you to watch this.
Can the veteran chase him down and pull off a shocker here? Well, there's no doubt that he's tightened up. Bernard is losing some ground. Here comes Lizak. Unbelievable at the end. He's done it. The U.S. has done it.
He did it.
He did it.
And look who's coming up. 4-3 A's. Two out, ninth inning. Not a bad opening act.
Yeah, we gotta fight! Yeah, we gotta fight! Yeah, we gotta scratch! Yeah, we gotta
How awesome was that, right, Kay? Did you feel the passion, right? But passion is never about just one thing. It's multifaceted. It's in every direction. It's so many things in a million different places that God calls us. So it's never just about one thing. Secondly, I'd also say here, and this is huge, okay? Passion is not found in things or money. It took me a while to figure this out, but I know this now. Passion is not found, it is not found in things. Although it may be things that are attached to it that have passion on it, that's not what drives us. It's also not built around money. It's not what gets us out of bed in the morning. It's not the thing we spend our life thinking about, those things. So it's not just about one thing. It's not just about things or money. It's much bigger than that. Another thing I would also add here is that a passion is really not a plan, but it's more of a feeling. It's more of a fire that is down deep inside of us. And I say that because one of the things that's come across in my conversations of talking to people is that there's an angst, I know, talking especially to younger people, when people say, what are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? And, of course, the danger is that if you feel like you cannot say what you're passionate about, what you want to do with your life, that somehow that somehow you're not ambitious or you're not a go-getter or you're somehow lazy. That is simply not true. There's something bigger going on. There's a lot of people that have discovered what they're passionate about. There are some people in the process of discovering it right now. And some people, you got a little more time to go, but don't worry, you're going to get there. I mean, think of me. I was a dyslexic kid who could hardly read, and now I'm a public speaker. Hello? I mean, does that strike you as a little bit odd? Many times it catches you off guard. And I have to say, in my calling as a minister, I have a very open job description, and many times they did not teach us in seminary, but part of my calling, my vocation, is teaching people and showing people what are they passionate about. Where do they want to spend their time? If they were to die this week, what is it they want people to remember them about? What are they passionate about? And let me add something else here I think is also absolutely true, and it's certainly true with my own life. And that is when you try to begin to look to see what you're passionate about, one thing is absolutely I'm absolutely sure of this now, is prepare to be surprised. Prepare to be surprised. This is certainly true in my own life. So often, the thing that gets our energy, the thing that gets our attention, is often you will discover right in front of you and you didn't even know it. Let me just give you an example of this, how I see this play out in my life. Some of you know I ran cross country in college, okay? I didn't get in because of grades, okay? I got in because I could run fast. Yet it paved my way through school, and I swore when I graduated I would never run another mile again in my life because it was a job. It was so hard. And I look back on it very fondly, but it was difficult. And yet the oddest thing is through tragedy, really, God gave me a ministry to begin to run again. And I began to help out with the cross-country teams on both schools, really, primarily Bufton High, but some in May River. And this picture is kind of old. It's like, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, okay? I apologize. 98 degrees out running that day. But one of the things that has been one of the joys of my adult life, without a doubt, caught me completely off guard, as I've discovered, it is such a joy watching and seeing young people succeed. I will lay down my life to see that happen. And let me just add something else here. This is just, I've grown tired of people, especially the older generation, saying about the younger generation, like these kids, that they're lazy, they're not ambitious, they're entitled. That is simply not true. So if you continue to say that, I'm going to fight you on it. These are some of the most extraordinary kids you could ever come across. And a lot of them are here today, by the way. And I'll show them to you, okay? And they're just extraordinary human beings. And let me take this a step even further. I got permission to share this. Two kids last year that I wrote college recommendations for and scholarships. Two kids up here, Brandon White, there on the right, got a full scholarship to USC. And Perla Jimenez. got a full scholarship at the University of North Carolina. She is the first person in her family's history to go to college. And she finished number two at Bluffton High of a class of 253. And she's now a pre-med major. And the reason why is her father has been on dialysis for 14 years, okay? So she wants to go into medicine. She's an extraordinary girl, okay, young woman. This has caught me off guard because I could go all morning with stories just like this of extraordinary young people that are just like this. It is impossible to feel pessimistic about the future when you hang around young people. It's just impossible because they have a passion, even if they may not have discovered it yet, and they have a purpose. And because of this, I'm a better person because of this. Now, let me just say this, because I think this needs to be said. Very often, these things will surprise you, and yet sometimes I know in my conversations with people, they say, I have not discovered my passions yet, what I want to do. And let me just tell you what's been helpful for me in sharing this with other people, okay, about this whole idea of what this means, about discovering what is our purpose. What are we supposed to be accomplishing while we're here? And a couple of years ago, someone sent this to me. She died this past year, a very famous poet named Mary Oliver. Maybe some of you know her. Now, I don't know where she was spiritually, but near the very end of her life, she wrote a poem that I found very striking, and yet I also think touches the heart. And this is what she said at the very end of the poem. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die, and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Now, whether Oliver knew this or not, she is actually striking a chord with what I think is a very biblical principle here. And that is that God does have a plan for our one wild and precious life for every one of us. I am absolutely convinced of this now. In fact, Job talks about this. He says, you, that is God, has decided the length of our days. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. In other words, there is a time we are born, and there is a time we are going to die, and God knows it, and everything in between. There's a time for this. He knows this. There's a purpose for our lives. We're not here by accident. There is a reason for our existence. Or as it says in the book of Ephesians, even before God made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That plays with your mind. Before the world was created, God chose us. Before we were even born, he knew what we were going to do. He knew you and I were going to be here today. We're not here by accident. There is a reason for our existence. There is a reason we have a purpose for our lives. And therefore, the Bible seems to suggest there is a purpose, there's a reason why we were even born. In the end, I'm absolutely convinced of this now. It's not really about the number of our days. It's really not. It is what we do with those days is what matters. So tonight, if I somehow die in my sleep tonight and I have an aneurysm and I don't wake up, the question is, what have I done with the time that God has given me? And I've been determined that I'm going to go out with my boots on. Whatever that is, God has called me to something higher. And God knows the days we have on this earth. And what we do between the time we are born and between the time we die, that means everything to the calling that God's called us to. Because I like to major in the majors and not get caught up in the minors, let me just paint the big picture here. There was a man who had come to Jesus. And he asked Jesus, I mean, basically one of the major questions of life. And that he asked Jesus, he had some kind of religious background, obviously. And he comes to Jesus and he said, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? This guy probably knew the Ten Commandments from the first one to the tenth, backwards and forwards. He knew all of them. And he's basically saying, what is the bottom line here, Jesus? Tell me what is absolutely essential for me to live a life that pleases you. What is it? And Jesus says, well, listen, he gives a summation of the Ten Commandments. He said, there are actually two. He sums them all up. He says, first of all, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, I want you to love me with a great amount of passion. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is just as important, Jesus says. And that is, I want you to love this world, this community. I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, very simply put, okay, to love God and love people. You will live fully if you do these two things. And this brings us back, really, to the whole idea of what does it mean to be a people of passion and a people of purpose? Well, passion is about you. It's about what gets you excited about. It's about the fire that, you know, burns inside of you. Purpose is something very different. Purpose is not focused on you. It's focused on others. It's focused outwardly. We're bent outwardly. And what I've come to the contention of is that when passion and purpose come together and used rightly, it can actually change the course of your life. That you can begin to have an impact that really does make a difference, even though nobody else may see it. God sees it. And I think the question I think that's naturally, I think I ask, and I ask this all the time to people, are you actually getting closer to God, closer to Christ, or are you walking away? Are you getting farther away? Or even conversely, are you leading people to God, or are you leading people away from God? That has to do with passion and purpose here. There is a reason we are here. What are you going to do with your one and wild and precious life? Purpose is so much bigger than us. And part of that purpose, I've come to know, is actually making people's lives better. And I would say, I think you become incredibly fulfilled when you do that. My contention is, when you actually live into your passion and you live into the purpose about loving God and loving people, there is never a time you feel more alive than when you are doing this. God's design is for us to bring out the best in each other. And therefore, you're not fighting you, you're fighting for other people. Now, let me say something that's really, really important. I mean, really important. And I would have not have known this coming out of seminary, but I know this talking to people in everyday life, talking to young people, talking to older people, but I know this. I don't know much, but I know this, okay? There is not a person who's coming to this sanctuary this morning that is not battling something right now that probably nobody knows about. You are struggling with and you feel lonely. You feel anxious. You feel scared. You don't know what you're going to do. And so this whole idea of purpose and passion, it can be daunting. But here's what I want you to know. I am absolutely convinced of this now, okay? If you really choose to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you really truly try to love your neighbor as God asks us to, you cannot possibly be out of the will of God. You cannot possibly miss this. God is calling us to something great. It's how you live and why you live and the manner and the way in which you live. And therefore, my thing is, and I've told this, never settle for average. Never settle for ordinary. God is calling us to do something better. God is calling us to do something special. And let me see if I can say it this way. I want to close with this illustration. And I would not have said this even a week ago. But many of you know, maybe many of you don't, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 3 years ago. And around that time, there were four other people in our church that all got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer the same time he did. And all four of them are gone. And he's still going. He's in a lot of pain. He can barely walk. And when I would drop Sam off from college a couple months ago, we went by to see him. Sam wanted to see him from one Marine to another. And we went by, we took this picture of him. There he is. And it was a wonderful time. And Sam, of course, adores his grandfather. Just walked him back to his room. And last Sunday, my older brother, you know, my 6'7 brother. Yes, I do have a brother that's 6'7, okay? Drove from Memphis to Virginia to see him because we feel like we're running out of time. And my brother told me last week they had to rush him to the emergency room. They believe sepsis had set in. And I had to preach up at the other store campus while this is going on. So I called the hospital room in between the services, and my dad could barely talk. He was just whispering at the time. And Evan, my brother, put the phone up next to his ear, and I said to him, "Dad, I love you. You are the best father I could have ever asked for." And he's been a minister now for 60 years. And I said to him, "I hope that I can be as great as you've been." And he whispered to me, this is what I'll never forget. And by the way, he is recovering, okay? But he whispered to me, he could barely even talk. He said, "Jonathan, I love you, but I dare you to do greater. I dare you to be better." And I guess my challenge here is to all of you here. What is it you're going to do with your one wild and precious life? I dare you, no matter where you are, no matter what you think you're offering, I dare you to do greater. I dare you to be better. Our scriptures have taught us, okay? Let me put it up here. All right, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And what is that, okay? That our goal is always to please God in everything we do, because we know in the end, and this is the scripture that always grabs me, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called by God according to his purpose, a passion and a purpose that you and I were made for. And so it is with you. Let's pray. Lord, that's what we're in for. Nothing more, nothing less. You are the refuge that we run to. You are the fire that leads us through the night. We pray this morning you would give us a passion. You would give us a purpose. You would give us a song to sing. Lord, we have a reason for our existence. And therefore, I say, Lord, with all reverence, because of this, we have nothing to fear. For you are always by our side. And because we believe, and we know your word has taught us, that if we believe this, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. As we look forward to that day, we dwell in your house forever and ever. We ask and pray these things. Amen.